This is how much we know about movies. We just, this, if you want a raw review of movies, you're getting it right here, because we don't know shit.
Dad!
Oh, fuck, I don't know, man. Is that like nostalgia purposes for kids these age?
Well, I don't give a shit. I don't care.
Forget that, Pop.
Fine, I'll Google it. Through the magic
of podcasting.
I mean,
you don't have to Google it. I'm just saying, you just take it out.
No, no.
Not bring it out, or just be better prepared.
Now I'm gonna shut your fucking mouth.
I am your father.
Man, sometimes I wish, like, things would stay at a simpler time mentality.
Welcome to the Two Dads Review Podcast. You've been cleaning the house today, huh?
Yeah, just anything and everything, dude. It was just one of those days where, like, I woke up and I was like, that bothers me. Done. That bothers me. Done. You know, just like, fuck it.
Oh,
and then,
I love
like,
that
my parents, brought over their, like, old adjustable, like, sleep number bed. And I say old as in, like, it's an ancient sleep number, but nah, it's, like, a fairly new one, king size and shit. And I was like, they're like, you want it? Mom decided she wanted a new bed. I was like, yeah, I don't ever want to pay, like, $3,000 for any kind of bed, ever. Like, yes, I will gladly take that.
Sure,
like,
I can
order a new cover as long as all the innards are fine. We're good.
Right? Let me know what your sleep number is.
Oh, I sleep on 100, dude.
Hard as hell.
Yeah, I have to, because my
like,
back.
Just give me a fucking slab of fucking concrete. I'm fine. Let's do this.
Yeah, pretty much. Really, like, the only way I sleep comfortably is on my stomach most of the time, which is, like, the worst effing way to sleep possible. So, yeah, like, anything that is negative numbers off of 100, it's, like, tilts me inwards in my hips, and I'm like, nope, can't do that.
You know, honestly, I'm going to leave all this in this podcast because I want to talk about this anyways. There's times at night where I sleep on my side, right? And I've been in numerous, like, I've had, like, springy things that were cheap because I'm cheap. And, like, I could just feel my spine bowing, like, downward. And I'm like, it's already hurting me now. You know, it's already, like, I feel the way my spine is now. And if I wasn't, like, younger, when I was actually in my, like, early 30s with that mattress, and, like, I would wake up and be like, if I'm much older, this position is going to kill me. But I also sleep, like, with my arm under the pillow and my head on the pillow. So, like, there's numerous nights where I wake up with my hands asleep. I'm like, when I'm, like, old and don't have circulation or good joints or shoulder, like, what's going to happen to me? Because I'm like, it's literally going to be, I'll have to be like, you're going to have to cut it off because it doesn't have any more blood. There's no more blood to it. I don't know what to do with this. So, like, at least once a week, I'll lay in bed and go, at some point, you're going to have to learn to sleep different, dude. And I don't know when that's going to be, because at some point, this 20-year-old sleeping that you're doing ain't going to work no more.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, sleeping on your side and, like, your back are really the only two, like, acceptable ways to, like, sleep. And then even if you sleep on your back, it's like you better sleep in, like, a tilted chair position on your back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, you're supposed to sleep on your side, and if, like, that shit hurts, you put, like, a pillow between your knees, you know, so you don't have that
already
weird
been
bow,
there, bro.
You know, so you don't have that weird bow, right? But, you know, like, what I need is a bed that reverses almost and, like, makes, like, a triangle in the middle to keep my hips up, and then, like, take the weight off my hips and just, like, let the rest of me kind of, like, hang on there, because I don't need a, like, a pyramid. I just need, like, a little hip. It's not like I'm going to be teeter-tottering on the fucking, you know, incline, which I know that's all anyone can imagine. They're like, why would you want it to, you know, it's like, no, just a little bit to raise my hips up.
All I ever see on the commercials is, like, when the person lays down and you see their spine go straight, I'm like, well, that's a fucking lie, because I've never been in a bed that does that, and I'm not paying the money for whatever bed that is that says it does that to find out that it doesn't, because that's what I need, is one that, like, dips for my shoulder, dips for my hip, and then lines everything up like you're standing straight up.
Honestly, you should go, like, to the Sleep Number store and check it out, because, again, dude, a bed is something that you spend, like, 70% of your fucking time in. Like, if you're going to not be cheap on something, it's probably one of the smart things to not be cheap on. Like, buying cheap beds, it's like, I hate to say it, but it's like buying shitty IKEA bookshelves and going, that's going to last me a decade. No, it's not. Like,
hey, I have decade-old IKEA bookshelves that are perfect right now.
Ugh, fuck yourself with that stupid ass shit.
Don't hate a
particle
IKEA
board
stuff.
Is trash. It will always be trash and forever trash.
I don't disagree with you. But a company who knows they've manufactured particle board has got it down, at least to the point you can't take it apart again because it won't go together nice and pretty anymore because it'll be rickety as hell. But if you put it together where it's going to stay and don't move it around a lot, you're okay.
Yeah, which is like the 3% of people. Like I have IKEA, those like glass bookshelves that sit behind my couch. Like those are IKEA furniture and they've moved everywhere, but it's four pillars and four walls and not a whole lot of shifting goes on with that. And even then, I bought those ones in that section where all the shit's already put together and there were scuffs on the top. I was like, so it's like 20% of the original price because there's a couple nings on something that's 7.5 feet tall that no one and their mother is ever going to see the top of. Cool. I'll buy them. Yes. Yes, I will. And like that to this day is the only lasting item I have from IKEA. Those two bookshelves.
Yeah.
Now it's more like
have,
pride at this point.
I think I only have two pieces of furniture that came from my first house with my wife. And those one is like a TV. It's actually a hutch. It's like the bottom part of a hutch that we just used as a TV stand because it was higher than standard like entertainment center stands. Mm-hmm. And that one's upstairs. And then they still make it a version of it where it's like a twin bed, like a day bed that pulls out to a king. And we use that as like the guest bedroom bed in our old house. And now it's like my daughter's bed because it's like you can have this as a twin. And then if we pull it out, if you need more space later on, I don't care. You know, so anyways, so when did you watch this back? We'll go to Star Trek now, not back to, but now we'll dive in. So when did you watch the episode?
Not too long ago.
So today?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right.
You seem very excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, actually, for the stuff that we talked about in the past 12 weeks, I was not disappointed. The first thing that excited me before I even started watching it was just clicking through and going, oh, cool, it's 61 minutes. I was like, sweet. So they like took 20 extra minutes to do whatever they're going to do with the whole story. You know what I mean? Like, at least they gave it, they weren't worried about the time it took to tell what they finished telling. And the fact that when they left it like it was, I was like, okay, I'm cool. I'm ready for season 4. And I'm not like, but there are like, ooh, what's going to happen with this and what's going to happen with that? But we'll get there to that stuff. But I enjoyed the episode. There were bits and pieces that I was kind of like scratching my head about, but the overall story that it told for the end of the season, I liked it pretty good. What about you?
It was all right, man. Like, I don't know. It's just, again, all of this stuff like came to this conclusion because of a lot of unnecessary episodes and things like that. Like, and then again, it really just boiled down to 13 or what, 12 episodes, whatever it is, of like homeboy at the top going, yeah, I remembered something about my kid and they didn't do math the way I thought, but their shit worked. So basically you breaking the rules all the time. Here's a captain's chair. Like I was like, and then Saru dipped out with ticking time bomb kid, which
right.
I'm like, okay, I don't care who you are. You cannot keep one person that calm where they need to be for the rest of their lives. Like, I guess maybe we're going to get into, you know, we fixed him or whatever. But again, the first time homeboy stubs his toe or runs into something new for the first time again, because of the way they made his character as in like, he's never been anywhere, right? Like he's going to blow shit up.
Yeah. And I will give you that because they did not like, they skirted over the science about it, but I think the big deal with him and what Culber has to prove later on scientifically is that because he was around, he was on that planet that's literally pure dilithium, that his closeness to it is what caused it. So being not at like a central point of dilithium in the galaxy is going to help him not screw shit up when he like does his Falcon scream or whatever you want to call it from now on. I don't know. I think it's because of where he was located to
that
much
dilithium.
Well,
I just thought he said like when he got all fuck, like, you know, like when an opera singer hits the right pitch and fucking breaks a glass, like they were like, he's tuned into the frequency of dilithium. Well, if that's the case, it doesn't matter.
I'm with you there.
How close you are or not to it, right? Like, he just seemed to have some supersonic or X-Men type power. Like, I guess I get it, the amplification of it. But again, this dude barely moved one time and it was like, hey, we almost wreck space again.
Right. I'm with you. I don't think he can ever be on a spaceship conscious, like ever. I think he, even near them, I think that you're right. I think at a close proximity, he could do what you just said, hit that note and boom, that ship goes bye-bye, like at the right time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think you're right. I don't think he can be that close to anything that's dilithium running. I agree with you there. I think there's a whole bunch of science into it. I really would like to tell you I think they're going to delve into it, but I did not get the feeling they were going to.
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of thought maybe when, like, the mom said something about, like, you know, wash them in the kelps at this tide and blah, 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 if she'd already kind of, like, thought of maybe what the counter cure could be, or at least to tone him down, you know what I'm saying? So he's not just a bomb, like, hey, kind of like a rechargeable battery in the reverse. You need to go wash your ass in this fucking bath water every 6 months, right? And like, make sure you're not gonna blow stuff up. But
I don't
like the episode
that's
long,
a good point.
And it was fun. But you could have honestly just shown this episode for this whole season, and basically picked up anything you needed in between.
They definitely, it was definitely when the final shot happened, I was like, okay, so we did all this to get to now it's going to be a standard Star Trek show where it's like, let's follow the crew through their adventures and Monster of the Week type thing. Like, I feel like that's what season 4 is going to be. And I was kind of hoping that was what season 3 was going to be. And it didn't. It was still that long arching, oh, wait, we have this thing and we're going to have all these little issues around our overarching, but yeah, I think that we're going to get to the standard exploration type thing. I mean, the whole point was,
well, basically
Discovery rebuilds Starfleet.
Yeah, basically you're going to have smuggler runs and the shenanigans that happen with that. Cause like every time they're going to be moving something that needs to go to someone. And like they've already said, hey, we're hitting 2 fed planets, 5 not fed planets, but we're trying to get everybody back in. So, I mean, you already have your premise for what the next season is going to be. But, like, I didn't need 11 episodes to get here.
Right.
It was, I don't know.
I didn't need 2 to 3 episodes to get Giorgio off the show, which we knew had to happen. That was 3 episodes of like extra fluff that we knew had to happen, but it's like, okay, you're not really helping my story. We know it's a soft pilot for how Giorgio's thing is going to go years down, you know, how that show when it airs 2 or 3 years from now is going to start, but you're still going to have to give us the previous on Discovery we hope you watched, and that whole they're going to have to give us a 10-minute video to make sure we know who she is for anybody just coming on board to Section 31 whenever it starts.
Yeah, I mean, just like off the top of my head, like I would have moved Giorgio's stuff to like this episode, especially it being 61 minutes, and like and just figured out a way to make, you know, our green enemy friend, which, man, dude, the Federation has like zippy diplomacy skills, like at all. Like, just there was so many bazillion different ways to work around this scenario. But, like, you know, it'd been cool if you had Giorgio's stuff in there and then, like, the whole Stamets thing. They're like, oh, hey, we're going to bounce around. But then she catches wind of, like, the fucking temporal accord bullshit this guy can fucking thing. And she's like, oh, Giorgio, right? Or, you know, whatever. Like, instead of just having these weird episodes where she just pixels out and then it's like, I don't like nobody, harumph. Like, you could have sent her on her warpath in this shit and let her sort herself out, right? I don't know. This whole season to me was just as if you were on a road trip with your boys and you had the thing mapped out, right? But you were talking and you missed like the second exit and you're just like, fuck it, we'll just take the long way. Like, that's what this was. You're like, all right, dude, we hit the mountains, we're just taking the scenic tour. And then you get to this hour episode, which has like a 3-minute recap at the very beginning of it of like any important things you would have needed from the previous 11. And then this show, like, you could have just made this a mini series real quick then the way you wanted to do it. Like, I didn't. And then the fact that Michael is, I would have been cool if Tilly was captain and Michael had her own ship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't, like, what was the whole point of the whole, like, Saru and Tilly building relationship kind of thing when he just dips out to a planet to go take care of a bomb? And then Michael's like, well, as you guys can always see, like, I've never been wrong. And even when I was wrong, it was the wrong right. Right? You know, like...
Right. It's right the wrong way. That's yeah. how I... Yeah.
So, yeah, I just kind of felt like at the very rundown of this whole thing was like, okay, you just kind of... Pandemic, whatever. I don't know, but...
They finished their filming right before everything shut down. So, I mean, they may have been rushed a little bit. And I'm with you. I do feel like there were certain elements, especially her promotion to captain, that I think felt a little bit like, okay, fine, you're captain. Like, I felt like it wasn't like, I don't think she earned it. I think that she did everything her way. And yes, it worked out each time during this season in the long run. It's always been Star Trek Burnham. That's just the show. That's what it is. And I know at the beginning of this whole show back 2 seasons ago, it was to focus on her and not focus on a captain. Like, that was the whole point of Discovery, was like, hey, yeah, there's going to be a captain, but we're going to follow not just the captain. You know what I mean? And it's like, not necessarily like a lower deck situation, but definitely get into the other folks and not just the main person, the main person wasn't going to be a captain. I think the Star Trek equation, like for series, is they have to focus on a captain. Yes, I know Sisko was a fucking commander, but guess what? He was the highest ranking guy on the DS9 and ended up becoming a captain anyways. So,
yeah, I mean, it makes for the Burnham show experience, like her being only answering to one person, but really only answering to him because she chooses to. Like, I got the special ship. We're the only people that know how to run it, really, right? Like, right. So you want us to go do it or not? Like, you can have us, or you can fuck off. I mean, that's where they've positioned themselves. But, yeah, when Michael decides to throw somebody out of, like, a parachute, no one can go, well, why'd you do that? Captain, man, like... Obviously, everything I've done before works out, right?
Right.
I just wish they would have gave... I wish they would have made her, like, an accompaniment to Discovery.
Mm-hmm.
Because Discovery can bounce around so much quicker. Like, you could let Tilly do the rendezvous, drop-off.
The standard.
Yeah, right? And, like, Michael can always be the thing that fixes, the outside problem.
Well, and to go with that, the inherent issue with the main character, the main action character being the captain, is that theoretically in Starfleet regulations, which of course we know don't really matter to Burnham too much, the captain shouldn't be going on missions. That captain assigns a section of his crew he knows can capably handle it and sends them off, because every time, if you watch Next Generation, every freaking time that Picard wanted to go do something, Riker's like, you're the captain. I got this. Let me take my cronies and we'll go take care of this for you. And that's what would happen. Or he would send somebody else. And every time Picard went, it was like, what's going to happen to Picard now? Because he's off the ship. So we know he's going to get kidnapped, taken by the Borg, friggin' all this other. Like, every time you leave the ship, something bad happens. You can't go anywhere. So it's like having her as captain does end up harnessing her a little bit, but I don't think that's going to end up being a writing issue. They're just going to be like, we don't care. She's going to go do what she wants to do.
Well, yeah, because this is a different Federation, right? So, like, the captain goes down with the ship kind of mentality and, like, I'm too good to, shoot the one guy in charge and everyone will listen kind of thing, right?
Right, like, we can't lose you type thing, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's just out the window. Because really, in all retrospect, like, Booker and Stamets are the two most important people on that ship because they're the only two that can fucking actually move that thing anywhere it needs to go.
At least Stamets isn't the Spoff anymore. He's not the single point of failure. Someone else can fly that friggin' ship at least a little bit.
Yeah, which makes me kind of wonder, like, how deep the Stamets and Burnham feud is going to, like, go. Because when you watched everybody, like, walk in, he was the only dude that was like, fuck you. you know, like,
you can kiss my fucking ass. Yeah, they definitely,
or you'll have, I think you're going to have, like, Culvert, like, going, dude, she did the right thing. It turned out like she saved everybody. Like, you got to stop looking at this from, and you're going to have this whole fucking spiel with that. But I don't know. It like,
and they could gloss over it when they realize, but of course she ejected him before she knew someone else could fly the ship in the spore, you know, use the spore drive. So you can't even use that as like, well, she knew someone else could do it. No, she didn't. She did until okay. So before we get off, let's go there. But let me do one last thing I want to talk about the Admiral before we then forget about him until next season. Number one, props on him for staying good the whole season, because we were like I was waiting for it the whole season for like the Federation to be a shell, for them all to be holograms, or them all to be like evil, or just like some sort of like we're the pretty face with some fucked up people behind us. So props on him for staying good. He also mentioned a family when he was giving her the speech about his wife and child having his wife and daughter, like having, they went, he said it weirdly, like they went away or they went somewhere else and I'll join them later, which.
Yeah. But then he said it wasn't safe here anymore. So like I sent him away.
Yeah.
Yeah. That took out the, they died.
Maybe they're dead type thing.
Yeah. That just was, I feel an admiral going, you get into a lot of shit, so I'm not going to give you the location of the two most people I love about. So I'm just going to tell you, like, I took them out of this bubble and shot their asses that, you know, this direction.
Yeah. And the last thing about him that kind of ties into that is that when Stamets, after they pulled him in on the tractor beam and got him into the headquarters, and he came running into the thing like, stop every fucking thing, like, I gotta get back to Discovery, and he was like, get out of here, you're going on a transport at full warp in the other direction of all the shit that's happening right now, you gotta get away from here. And he goes, the admiral goes, I understand what you're sacrificing. And that part is the only part where I'm like, ooh, so I need to hear, even if it's just like a round of drinks, that he tells a story of what happened with his wife and child, like why they're not on the station. I mean, it doesn't look like the station is like housing families anyways, but there's a little bit more to that. Maybe not, like you said, I don't think they're dead, but there may be some more something.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there was like a story, you know, hey, we were all making this, you know, cool invisible shield thing and our families were with us because we all figured it was safe until dun, da, 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 right. You know, and then we get a cool, like, this is why I never smile, and this is why I look like I'm always part of Cobra. You know what I'm saying? Like,
like I can turn at any moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the major stuff with him. So we can shelf him until season four. I think, Oded Fehr did a fantastic job as the Admiral. I thought he was, honestly, when it comes to the history of Admirals in Star Trek, a fucking fantastic one, because he wasn't evil or didn't have some cockamamie plan to fucking do.
He also
so
listened
props
at the end a little bit, like, disgruntledly, but he did it, right?
You know? Gave good advice, listened to the underlings, and made good decisions. Like, way to go, bro, and trusted your people, even though, like, your FaceTime with Burnham was like really like stretched out. You can trust me, sir, you can trust me. I got you. I got this. Like, hang up the phone. And he pretty much was just like, fuck it. just I'm done. I quit. Just hung up the phone. He's like, I could be losing Discovery. But I mean, she was right though. They were about to blow Discovery out of the sky and kill everybody on it, as opposed to let Osira get it. So, I mean, what else? You know, what else are you going to do? You're like, okay, I guess I won't kill an entire crew of Starfleet people, even though they are from 900 years ago. So it worked out.
Yeah,
in the
it would
end,
have been
I guess.
Funny if he was just like, well, in my timeline, you're already dead.
I'm sorry, who are you?
Yeah.
I don't recognize this ship.
New Federation, who this?
Right.
Fucking blow him up. Jesus, that would be vicious. I'd be like, well, he's most certainly a bad guy.
Yeah, right? Let's see. So back to, like, Osira and all them on the Discovery. She didn't take too long to, like, choke out her her main scientist, dude.
Dude. Homeboy did not realize that he was the one dating up in this situation. And, like, she put him in his place in the most, like, beautifully subtle way, right? Like, she just was like, first you were like, oh, shit, she's choking him. You know, like, we're going all the way. Like, she's just getting rid of the good doc. And I love how she's like, or the next time you won't wake up. And then just, like, he's, like, out and she backs off. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, I was like, that was slick shit right there, dude. Like, that to me is more intimidating than just killing the cat next to you, because you went, do you see how close I brought him to that fine line? And then I went, ooh, now imagine if I really tried playing with how close I could get to that, how long I could keep you alive, torturing your ass, right? Like,
right, and they're trying to torture, and all of that scene trying to torture the information out of Book as to where the planet is, mm-hmm. And that dude, good job on him too, man. That dude was looking like he was in some pain, like he did a good job.
I'm not gonna lie, man. Like, Book, anytime they connect him to anything, looks like whatever telepathy he has that is obviously way more powerful and like.
Than we know yet, which is going to be cool.
Well,
season.
Than we know yet, but even what we do know, it is like astonishingly just better than everybody mm-hmm. else's, right? And like even the good doc this episode was like, I don't think he can only just connect with animals. I'm going to open this whole fucking field up. I think he can talk to anything.
By the way, didn't even need a scene of him, like, coming over to the good side. He's like, oh, no, she choked me out, so I'm on y'all's fucking side now, right? We good?
Yeah, he was like, hey, look, let's do this. My point of view is jaded. I understand that. You got to give me a little slack on that, but do you see the dope rig she put me in and saved everybody? But when she choked me out, that's when I realized I may be batting for the wrong team. Like,
yeah, I mean that, and your girl shot her in the face, so she's not here no more. So that's fine. I don't have to deal with that. I don't
care
about
you talk about like just like a 360 fucking YYX no scope, like right, like she just gets thrown in this Legoed goo shit, and then it's just like bop 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 out, and two shots are just straight into her dome piece. Basically, I was like, ooh.
Well, great fight scene, well choreographed. I thought it was cool. I thought the, like, whatever energy blasts were, like, perfectly timed to so she didn't kill Burnham each time, or they didn't kill each other. There were two of them. They were when they were, like,
yeah, when they shot each other, like, point blank.
And
it, yeah.
Like, and then when she went to shoot her, when she hit, because, I mean, good on Osira, because, like, her second move was punching her right in her fucking stabbed leg, and I was like, oh shit, like that's and good on Burnham, or good on Sonequa Martin-Green, because she was limping around that whole fight, mm-hmm. like trying to do shit. And then, I mean, and then I love, like, as she's getting pushed in, she's like, it doesn't have to be this way. I was like, what other way do you think it's going to go? What other way do you think it's going to be, dude? She's going to kill you. And now she's going to kill you by drowning you in fucking programmable matter.
Mm-hmm. I love when Michael got out and she threw up and she like actually spit it out. And like, it was like
pixels.
It was like bluish and shit, you know? And I was just like, oh, dude. It was like she ate a bunch of like Mike and Ike's and then like chugged a Slurpee, like a blue one, like right after it. And it all just came right back up. I was like, oh, right. Geez. I couldn't imagine throwing up something that could transform into any goddamn thing at any moment. Like, you know, like, right. I know I'm getting shoved sharp into a, like a wall of it, right? And it's consuming me. And I'm assuming that is what that like wall was for, was like a stasis lock wall kind of thing or whatever, right? Like, I just don't imagine you just have like a programmable matter wall that's just like, hey, dude, don't slip that way. You're going to fall into it, right?
Right. Right, but I mean, at least it provided a little resistance if you were to fall into it. Like, oh, oops, let me get out of this goo.
But like, I just immediately thought of like when she popped out, like those things going like haywire, and then like a house in your throat, then you just like explode. You know, you're like, oh god.
ooh, I see a season four, like an actual death by programmable matter, where like it something like that does happen internally to somebody. Like they hit a remote and it's like. And it's just like, just
yeah, like the bad guy like has them swallow programmable matter, and he's like, yo, I could turn this into an orange, or I could put it like a cartoon dynamite bomb from 1920s. You know, and then like bring up some old history lesson about like cartoons real quick and shit, because that's the weird thing this villain's into. He's like,
I can make it into a chair.
I like the old original animations.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah. So that was a good fight scene. I guess prior to that, so we had the choke out, and then we had her, the like breakout Booker from everything, where she just like hit that, you know, the, what was it? It was a quick containment field that, yeah, of that course, no one
like,
knew.
Yeah, that was like, I didn't see that coming. I know the beds have containment fields for themselves, you know, because obviously, why wouldn't they in space, right? Like, they're not going to pull up a little quarantine, you know, tarp around them. But I thought it was cool how, like, it wasn't just that bed. It was like a quarantine wall from there to the door. You know, right. So like whatever she put in was like a segmented like coordinates, right?
So you could theoretically go in through that door to work on the person who's quarantined and go back out the door. Yeah, I know. I thought it was fantastic.
That was slick. So I was like, ooh, yeah, that's some James Bond, like, you know, fuck you guys shit.
That's,
like
that's knowing every inch of your ship and how it works. Well, that's how when I walk up to the guy at Lowe's and I say, where is this tiny little thing? And he goes, oh, yeah, it's friggin' aisle 27, section 15. I'm like, that's amazing. I'm going to go there. See you later. Like, you know, that's the kind of thing. So, so then it gets to the part that was.
I like how we basically told this whole episode backwards so far.
But actually linear,
though. Like, we have stayed in order somehow going backwards.
Right.
We found the formula.
We've done it. Yeah, exactly. apparently it's Dean's formula from like when with my son's podcast tonight, because he tries to work himself backwards.
Are smarter than us. I would not argue with that. I'd be like, he came up with it, makes way more sense.
The fight in the turbo lift. So number one, also books high on like friggin' adrenaline, which I love, because half the time he's like, how long is this adrenaline going to, when is my heart going to stop beating fast? She's like, not anytime soon, bro, with what we're about to do.
I love that, like, that became kind of like a running joke all the way till the very end. She's like, how you doing on that adrenaline? He's like, hasn't slowed down a bit, you know, or whatever. Like, right. I thought that was a quick and funny way to keep a joke rolling, you know, through this episode. My audio went off slightly during that fight scene, and I was in tears because it sounded like delayed porn. It was like, and like, dude, and it was slow, and like, and then all of a sudden, right before you have the whole like uppercut to the nuts and the role reversal, like it switched. It went back to being normal. So like, right when he got popped, it went from like right when he got hit in the nuts, it was, like, dude, I lost it. I had to pause the show. I was like, something cool is about to happen, and I'm in tears because the audio just decided to go off, and it was male on man romance happening right there.
I know, right? And that part was great. It's like it took you insulting his cat and threatening to kill his cat, and he's like, okay, cool. So this is the kind of fight it's gonna be. I'm gonna punch you square in the fucking balls.
I love how he was like, I wonder who's, you know, gonna make a bigger splat or a mess down there, you or that fat cat of yours. And then after he fucking knocks homeboy out, and like, one, when homeboy got thrown out of the little elevator thing and like ricocheted off some of the material, I was like, CGI people, thank you. Because I was like, if he hits the perfect just net through all that little squared shit going down there, I'll be so mad. I want to see this dude bounce.
Yeah, he fucking pinballed.
Certainly did. And then I love Book, she's a queen.
I love that is my favorite, like, running. And actually, he says it so much, and I know it's just like,
I think that animal species is actually a queen. Like, she's the queen ant of whatever it is or something. Yeah,
that's exactly what I was going for, because he says it way too much, and it's not just like he's a cat person. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I feel like that cat is of a planet of feline type animal. It's like the Flurkin from friggin' Captain Marvel. Like, it looks like a cat.
Yeah, part of me almost kind of thinks it's one of those things where, you know, with his psychic ability, he saved something, someone, somewhere, somehow, right? And that Cat, being what it is, I don't want to say is like romantically inclined to Book, but as like
a life debt.
Yeah, but like how your dog or your animal like bonds with you, and you just know that like my shit's different than everybody else. Well, even though she's a queen, like she rolled up into Book's lap and everyone was like, y'all are married, by the way, right? You know, kind of right. thing.
On our planet, you're her pet now, so
yeah,
you
yes.
must take her on your ship yep. and just and serve That's, her.
And then
every
he finds
whim.
Out that she's a queen, you know, because he can talk to him and or you know the bond or whatever it is, right? Like, I hope now that you and I have just thought of this wonderful idea, that is the scenario that we get a background of why.
Yep. I hope her. Yeah. And it's, yeah, that's exactly what I hope happens when it comes. I hope there's more to that cat, because when he got in trouble, and I know he had set the autopilot back, but that cat is the one that turned on the fucking hailing system or whatever. Mm-hmm. But she was at the window like, you guys gonna come get my boy? Like, my pet is in a
yeah.
in a prison back here, and I'm on this thing all by myself.
Yeah. she's all against the window. My baby's down there with the apes. Save them. Save my baby, Fel.
Yep. You know? Yep. That's all. I gotta hope that's what season four. Please give us that on season four.
I feel like I'm gonna actually log into my Twitter account, find one of the writers
tweet
on Twitter,
Discovery.
And just tweet it directly to them and be like, hey guys, I don't get on here very often. Thought it was a great idea. Here it is. Signing out.
Right. They're actually, if you're honestly serious, which I can't really tell if you are or not, there is a Discovery Writers Twitter handle. Like, the actual writers have a Twitter account as well. If I mm-hmm. find it, I'll send it to you. But they usually are, they post up some neat little tidbits as they're like writing, like, guess what sentence we wrote today, and it's like something about subs and crazy shit, and you're like, what the I have to actually go back and look at some of those, because there was some shit when they were writing season three that I was like, what is happening here? Like, nice. They just, here's a sentence that we toyed around with today. So yeah, that's that was the big fight scene, and then you had the other plot with the other part of the crew, so Tilly and her crew with the Zorobots and everything running around fighting their way through the decks until... Now, this is what you and I have complained before about, I believe, on Discovery. It was season two. But, oh no, she turned off the air, but she's venting it out slowly. So now there's a timer. Like, wasn't mm-hmm. it Discovery that we always bitch about the timer, or was it a different show?
Dude, it's every show. It doesn't
every
matter.
Show. Like, yeah, it's that whole, but, like, but, I'm just not
yes.
going
to... Every time a bad guy goes to do something like utterly ruthless, there's always like somehow, some way, shape or form, like anywhere from a 30 second to a 5 minute like timed association with it. And to me, if you are in a spaceship from 3000 or whatever, like when you turn vital signs off and life support and everything to a floor, it's not a...
Like a nice slow dispersion of air.
Yeah, I'm not a submarine like letting out water so I can go up slowly, right? Like I'm not pressurizing myself. It's just, oh, 4 and 5 don't need it. Fuck it. Off.
There's no air.
Yeah, you're done. Like that's it. You have right. whatever was left in there. That's cool. And you had your little container, but and then you have the whole thing at the very beginning of homegirl who was like, oh dude, we used to swim like 20,000 miles just for shits and giggles, and
right.
also
well, oh,
like
oh,
our
oh,
food
oh well you was know. a Luddite on Earth, and yeah, so she's used to dive for abalone or whatever, and
yeah,
and had
so why we needed all five of them to walk with her, because like to do I get it, they were like shooting stuff, but again, we didn't need it. We knew it was all gonna the football was going to her. Like, uh-huh. we could have just done another John McClane thing and, like, let her go out with four bots, and then you could have gave the other people some side plot to make their life more difficult moving around this shit. But, like, why are
right.
we all...
Would it have been better to give her the oxygen, let them sit somewhere and just slowly suffocate, and let her just take off?
Yeah,
and then,
instead of
yeah.
having a group of five pass around oxygen when everyone's like, yo, I'm a little, pass me around. Like... Yes, like I don't want to say, you know, oh well, but apparently the way they did it anyways, everybody passed out and like went
everybody
into
was gonna die anyways.
A cool like sleep and mm-hmm. we're getting seeped enough oxygen somehow to like not go brain damaged.
Right.
in there. And so yeah, I was with like that part annoyed me. I was like, I don't need four people gasping for air talking about what they're going to do. Like when they went in the circle and like Tilly was like, I'm not gonna make anybody come with me. Die here or die out there, right? You know, and then everybody took their turn answering the question. Dude, you run out of fucking air. It's either a common agreement and you move. Like
exactly. Yeah, that was the other part when I was like, oh, I'm sorry, we're at a time limit here. There's no time to tell stories. I understand that the audience needed to know about your birthday surprise and shit, but you could have been like, I would rather have heard said, listen to Michael's message and then go, okay, guys, we're going to a cell. We got to make a bomb. We're going to die here or die out there. Make a bomb. And then everybody go do it. And then at the end, after everything's over, her and Michael like have a little moment, which they didn't get to really have at the end of this episode. And they're the buddy-buddy group, the buddy-buddy team. And she could go, I loved your message, man. That day on my birthday where I had a rough day and I was hiding in the cell, like, she'd been like, what a perfect way to get a message to me. Thanks, sister. Yeah,
Yeah, that could have been a whatever. Cool little speech there at the end.
Exactly, at the end. Yeah, I don't need her telling me the story while they literally are running out of oxygen. Yeah,
that whole segment, like, I was like, oh, it's 61 minutes because you got 5 minutes of oxygen in a 15-minute scene of them moving around a corridor. And I was like, when you tell me that someone has a lung capacity basically 80 times everyone else, I don't need to see everybody else. You've already told me who's getting it. You already told me how it's going down. Like, let homegirl go to work then.
She could, and her emotional goodbye to them was nice, but you could have done that in the spore drive room and sent her on her way after you got done building the bomb. That's just, yeah. Everything she did there in the hallway when they were dying, she could have easily have hugged it out there real quick in the spore drive room, told them she loved them all, and then bounced.
Mm-hmm. There was too many goodbyes for the amount of air that was supposed to be around there. Right. You know, like that scene was one of those where you, like, as a viewer, you go, I get it, because they're not doing this for themselves. They're doing it for us, so we get what's going on. Basically, they're telling us their thoughts right now, and they have to verbalize it. Otherwise, we would never know, right? But don't put a timer on it then.
Right. Right. You've already put a timer. So I'm already like, we need to go. We need to go. You can't give me the exposition now. You got to get him out of the door, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of doors, and I just wanted to bring this up real quick because I talked about it. There's a lot of dead space in Discovery. Like, the inside of that ship is huge. Like, when they were in the turbo lift, I was like, where is all this space? Like, where is all this space that thing is? Like, I need to see a diagram because there's a lot of empty space.
Yeah, at first I thought they were on like, and when they were not on the turbo lift, but when they were in the. Is the turbo lift that crazy open room with all of the like shafts that were moving around? You know where Booker was fighting?
Yeah, that's that. Yeah, the turbo lift is their elevator, you never see the outside of the elevators in any time before Discovery ever. But there's so much. It's not like it's in a tube. It's definitely like flying out in the dead spaces of the ship to take you to different areas. But I'm like, you got a lot of dead space in there. You could like just build tubes that will take your. I don't know. There's just everything I saw, and when I was watching, I was like, this looks cool as hell, and like A+ to the fucking graphics team. Like the fight was like beautiful. The guy bouncing off the ship was awesome. But I was like, we've been fighting for 2 minutes. How big is this ship?
I mean, you got to think though, like to build a spaceship that would house people the way like Discovery or any of these things do, like you basically got to build it in space because it's bigger than a whole fucking state. Like it's massive. Mm-hmm. You know, like everyone thinks Mars Rover is a little RC car, but that's just the Batmobile, like the big Batmobile from the last one. Like it is massive. Right.
Right. Right.
You know, so. But I'm with you. Like when that whole transportation scene was happening, like I was like, yo, did we get switched over to like are we inside an Emerald Chain ship? And then we're just kind of like seeing the massiveness of like one of their like star docking ships kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, holy crap. That's, I mean, and even if that is on the inside of Discovery, right? Like that shit was like a Monsters, Inc. of fucking doors, dude. It was, huge. And like the programmable matter one, like making things in front of it. I was like, okay, are we in like some kind of like virtual sim world where we're really only moving in a small amount of space and the ship is being built to me or something? Because I was like, where are we going? It's so big.
Right. The fight scene's so long and it's, there's so much empty space and there's, it's definitely a little bit of a hinky situation there where I'm like not really sure where we are in the ship when that's happening. Like I said, for visuals, it was fucking, it was beautiful.
Well, it was almost we didn't get to the elevator that everybody else uses. It was like in Skyline, like we got the service Vader. You know what I'm saying? Like the one they got into was the one that all of the workers go to because it goes behind everything, right? And they're like, I can fix all the shit.
that's exactly right. Let's see. So what else did we... Oh, I guess we should actually talk about the burn stuff real quick, because a couple things are going to carry over. We kind of mentioned a little bit of it, but Adira came there, and the holo technology from 100 years ago on Kelpian vessels could detect Tall. Wait, what's the boyfriend's name? Do you remember off the top of your head?
Nope. All I know is I just what like soap he uses. Skin just looks so soft and smooth.
It's so pretty.
Right? I'm going to make a lamp of him.
The 100-year-old technology on that ship could recognize a separate consciousness and made it into a holo projected another person, which is cool. And like the emotional aspect of like Culber seeing him for the first time and being able to like, you know, give him a hug. And, you know, that is going to be something that carries on. And because it's cool, because I loved Adira didn't know that everybody else could see him until someone went, hey, man, what you doing? And she's like, hey, well, you can see it? What's going on? I love that.
Yeah,
and
that part was cool, which makes me, you know, go back to the whole, like, humans are the greatest thing for space ever. Because, like, we can bang anything, ingest anything. Like, we're perfect. We're universal.
Humans are not perfect this week, that's for sure.
Yeah, right.
We're not talking about that.
It's almost like even though Adira is housing, you know,
Gray, our trill,
right?
Yeah.
But it's to me then, now if he appeared, the rest of them should have appeared. Because she can still see them all, and I know like there's a weird different connection with him. So what I'm saying is now that it was only him, it makes me think that Trill is just like basically going, I'm trying to chill the fuck out until you can get me like in the right body so homeboy can move on, or you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I feel that thing is now. Right.
And I definitely expect a couple episodes of next season to deal with them trying to bring Gray into the real world, i.e. because he keeps saying, I'm stuck. Okay, well, cool. We need to figure out what stuck means, like scientifically with your species, and then figure out a way to manifest you. If you are actually dead, but your consciousness is still like a thing that certain mechanical things can sense and see, then it's easy to stick a mobile emitter, which is what the doctor on Voyager, he was a hologram, but he was able to like wear a little thing that would just project him wherever he wanted to go on the ship, as opposed to being stuck in like a holographic program, which was, that's hundreds of years before this, so that's easy. Or figure out if there's a way to actually, because Culber makes a mention of, I know how you feel about being there but not being there, when he was stuck in the spore.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
When he was stuck in that dimension, like we all forget that Culber
network, yeah,
like yeah, the mycelium
in there, in
and
there.
And he's made of that now. Like that's what Culber's made of. So hey, maybe it's a whole like take Adira in there and then work some friggin' spore magic and then poop out of Gray as you as you leave the state, you know. So I'm guessing a couple episodes next season will be dealing with that. Not to mention, like we said before, Stamets is being pissed at Burnham still, and that's going to be the underlying, like, you know, when those two, and actually we saw it earlier, like when they were fighting, when she was about to eject him, when those two get to be in like an emotional scene to each other, it's like fucking magic, because they both will just like go off the end. In fact, when they were interviewing Jonathan Frakes, he mentioned that, don't forget, when you see what's on TV, I've already told them we have a few scenes that we didn't, you know, where we were never going to put live, but they got, where I said, you turn that shit up to 11 and go fucking nuts at each other, and then I'll bring you back down. But, you know, so he's like, I bring them back down to something that's realistic, but they still have that shit like in their head and in their eyes, and you can see that at their first fight. So like when they get like in a fucking mood and they're at each other's throat, it's gonna be beautiful. It's gonna be so fucking uncomfortable. It'd be great next season. So, and then that's about it. Like the part where Sakaal got to like see what happened. I mean, part of me, like the whole time that he was like watching the Hollow, I was looking at all the like bodies and like where they had like leaked and then become like dusty body dirt, you know, because it'd been 100-something years. And like his mom's like, where you watched her die in the holograph and then watch her like land, like where her like dusty, leaky body was too. I was like, yes, that's uncomfortable. That's a little bit uncomfortable. So, and then of course you had the standard save the day. Michael comes to the rescue at the last second while they're all like, we're all going to die here holding each other. And even like when he finally turned the system off, Gray's like, oh God, he's going to turn off. I'm going to go away. And Culber's like, we're going to figure this out. Like, we'll be back for you, even though you're still here, but we're going to figure this out. So all that kind of like touching stuff, even the part where like Saru becomes Kelpian again, was like, while we all know him, I kind of felt like at home, like when he showed back, I was like, if the world is right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Yeah. I don't like him out of makeup. Like, if you're going to be Saru, just be Saru. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you're like, I love you, Doug Jones, but I need to see you in makeup, buddy.
Well, it would have been different if he was like out of his makeup and, you know, like, the gangster episode or something like that, right? Like wherever he lands, he gets out of it and he's human and they're like, hey, here's your free 8 hours that you decided to cash in on for episode 4. So we're going to do something fun. And then he just gets to be Saru, but Saru acting, you know what I'm saying? So it's not just like Doug Jones out of makeup and then being Saru. So you are watching him and then you're basically mapping Saru's facial features onto like what he's doing. You're like, yep, okay, I'm with you, yeah.
Right. Yeah, so it was, you know, everything, nothing is left lingering that I'm like upset about. Like they answered all the whether or not they answered in the way we wanted them to be answered, at least we knew, okay, so the Emerald Chain, the big bad is dead. Now, I'm sure there's going to be some offshoots from the chain that rise up, but I'm sure there's going to be some sort of, like you said, the doctor's going to end up being, the scientist guy's going to end up being, like, the go-between, like, the level head who says, hey, these people are cool. Our old boss, she's choked me out for fun. So, yeah. I mean, let's work with them. There'll be some crazy offshoots that, you know, cause issues here and there, which will be great. We know what happened with the burn. It's a little bit less explained than I would have liked it. You said it earlier. It's like, okay, so where can he be? Where can't he be? What's he going to, you know, are we going to do tests on him and risk him blowing shit up, just testing what he can do? Or are we going to sit him on a planet that doesn't have a lot of warp drive and just hope he's okay? You know, that part's kind of eh. But everything else, you know, the ship gets it. The crew's good. Michael's captain, literally fulfilling what Giorgio had said a couple episodes ago as she was leaving. Like, Saru's a great captain, but you are too. Like, you could do it too, girl. And, you know, so that came through. And everybody's good. Nobody died. I mean, I don't think they're going to kill off any more of the main crew. I like that we got to see and get a little bit more backstory and work with the bridge crew. I almost know everybody's name now, but not all of them, but most of them. Most of the time I can figure them out. So I think next season will feel, and I don't need it to feel more Star Trek-y, but I think just the way Star Trek works as a series, you have to just, it's now getting itself to that point, the monster of the week. What's going to happen this week that we're going to figure out, get out of, and move on to the next thing. So we shall see how season four is going. They're in production now, but we won't see them, and we won't see it again in 2021. It'll be 2022 before we see season four. But next week, we have finished, by the way, we finished our 23 weeks of Star Trek. We're done. You don't have to worry about Star Trek anymore. And I know you're happy about that. So our podcast, Two Dads for You, is going to take on the Marvel Universe. And our next episode is going to be on the season premiere, the series premiere of WandaVision, which is starting here this week. I think it's on the 14th, maybe 14th or 15th on Disney Plus. So I'm excited about that. This is the first Marvel TV show since Disney Plus has been launched. So I'll be interested to see in how that goes. It'll be cool. It's going to be a crazy nutball story. Like whatever the plot is around WandaVision and her, like whenever it happens, it's going to be all sorts of crazy visuals and weird. Where are we? What's going on? Who is really alive? Who's not alive? What time frame are we in from the giant cinematic universe that we've known? So it should be a lot of speculation on our part and probably not knowing shit about it. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a really good, I think, like, we've built a safe zone kind of moment, and we're really going to get teetered on that. Are we in death? Are we in a coma? Are we just in a mental breakdown state? Or is everything actually okay and we're fixing each other? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I think that'll be because the way they've already just kind of shown some clips of it and things like that, where it will 1 minute be like, you know, 1940s Wanda, and then boom, she's like in leather from the 20th, you know, 2020. Right. You're like, whoa, what the shit's going on? So I think it'll be fun.
It'll be very cool. So until next week, we want to thank everybody for listening. Live long and prosper, and we will catch you guys next week for WandaVision.
See you guys.